Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, welcome to the morning show, the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Former, what do you call you guys? Ad representing, account rep. Former yes. Account rep.
At first it was account executive.
Oh, AE.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it became account rep. Okay. Then it became something else.
Anyway, his name is Jack Lancaster, and he's here today.
Hey,
thank
buddy.
You, Jack, for
how
coming.
How you doing?
Missed you last time around. Jack,
sorry about that. I was sick.
He was as sick as a dog.
Yeah, it was
man.
Not good. It was not happy. It was.
Oh, man.
I'll spare you the gory details.
Yeah,
but it
no,
was definitely.
You were incapacitated.
I was very incapacitated.
Under the weather.
Yes.
Indisposed.
Yes.
All those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're not any
thank
of
you.
Those today.
Thank you.
So it's good to have you here. Got your Dixie College Rebels shirt on.
That's right.
How old is that shirt?
It's only about a year old. I bought it
really?
At Ace Hardware.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks like, I mean, it doesn't look old, but just the logo
the
on
logo,
it
yeah.
is old. Because
yeah.
they haven't even been Dixie College for
yeah.
25 years.
Yeah.
They were Dixie State for
that's
a long
one thing
time.
That's cool about over here at Ace on Bluff Street is uh-huh. they've got these t-shirts. And I've got a bunch of them. One says Dixie Palms. Motel,
yeah,
which is
that.
Actually, my mom and dad bought that motel one in the 60s. When
really?
I was a kid, yeah.
I did not know that.
And we lived there for a couple years. And then they've got Big Hand Cafe, McKnight Sporting Goods, Sandtown t-shirt, and then this one, Dixie College, Home of the Rebels.
A little throwback.
Yeah.
Huh? Little,
yeah.
It's all fun. Recognize you. You know, I had some people on from the St. George Dispatch, 911 operators.
Uh-huh.
Heroic jobs they perform, but. They were telling me that, like, a lot of people want to believe that St. George is still this little small town. They said, I got to tell you, we have some big town crime going on out there.
Yeah, we do. I've noticed that. You know, you watch you read the local news, and, man, I'll tell you what. There's, I'm sure you post a lot of it there on KDXU.com.
Yeah, 890KDXU.com.
Sorry, 890KDXU.com. Yeah, all the local news is fit to print on 890KDXU.com.
That's right. I am wearing two hats right now as our newsman has taken a job elsewhere. So,
oh, no.
So I'm the news guy.
Is that why I don't have a bottle of water here today?
That's why you don't have a bottle of water, although it's just down the hall.
Okay.
So. today I thought it would be fun to start off the show talking about, well, Jack, the name Jack.
Okay.
First of all, Jack used to be the shortened kind of a nickname for somebody named John. But
that's right.
You're not John, right? You're just
no,
Jack.
No, I'm Jack. Remember President Kennedy? They used
uh-huh,
to call him Jack,
Kennedy. Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
And your parents said, now the heck with John stuff. We're just going Jack.
Well, my dad's name was JC, the letters. That was his.
Really?
Yeah, that
did
was
they
his
stand
legal
for
name.
Stuff?
No, it was just JC,
okay.
And then but they called him Jack. That was just his given name. So then they
okay.
named me
well,
after
JC that. Makes sense, Jack.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
and then they named you Jack. How uh-huh. many siblings do you have?
I got three sisters. I'm the youngest.
Oh, the old boy, huh?
Yeah.
So they treated you like you.
Yeah,
were.
Yeah, I was kind of spoiled.
Yeah. You also had to do all the girl stuff. They probably dressed you up and made you
my,
go to school.
My next oldest sister is 7 years old. The next one is 7 years older than me.
Okay.
So I was kind of a caboose, I guess. But she used to pin me down, and yes, it was not.
did they ever put makeup on you at any
yes.
point?
Yeah,
they
yes.
did. Oh man, I'm sorry, dude.
Hair stuff, nail polish.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
yeah,
sometimes
yeah, it was horrible.
When they're 7 years
it was horrible.
Older than you, what are you supposed to do, right?
Debbie, if you're listening.
he's not forgotten any of it, Debbie. It's still back there in his mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go different forms of Jack, because it's a fascinating word. Okay, we all had a little kid's game with a Jack, you know, the little metal thing to spin them and you bounce a ball and you grab them and things like that.
Yeah, Jacks.
I never really played that game, but you having older sisters, it was kind of a girl game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was a girl game.
And
yeah.
and did you play it some then?
No.
No?
I
didn't either. Also, Jack is one of the playing cards. Right?
Uh-huh.
So you got your king, queen, and then Jack. And in fact, oftentimes if you're a poker person, you might say, hey, deuces and one-eyed jacks
one-eyed
are wild.
One-eyed jacks. There's two of them in the deck. There's four jacks, two of them are one-eyes.
Why are they one-eyed? Well,
because he's profiled.
Profile, yeah. The other guys, the other two jacks are facing you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So you see both eyes, and then the other ones are the one-eyed.
So Jack was the prince.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. King, queen, and prince. Mm-hmm. There's no princess, though.
No, there's not. There's Queen of Hearts.
There's a joker occasionally, I guess. But okay. And this one I had forgotten about, but when I was looking up Jack, I remember I worked in a warehouse, and if you had to get something really heavy, you went and got a pallet jack.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to change a tire on your car.
Yeah, yeah, jack to change your car. But the pallet jack was this, you had a big handle and then two long prongs. It was almost like a forklift, manually operated forklift.
Right, right.
And it would help, you could slide it under pallets and then the wheels, you would jack it up, and then you'd be able to lift the pallet and move it around.
Yeah.
And I did that for a few years back in the day.
Yeah.
Running that pallet jack.
Tell you what, growing up with the name Jack, you got a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, I can tell you, we used to have, when the boss was out of town, pallet jack races. Because we had a couple of pallet jacks. And we would jump on it. Because you could actually treat them a little bit like a scooter or something.
Uh-huh.
You with nothing on them, you would jack it up so the wheels were down. And you'd go zooming around and skidding around the corners and
stuff. But you got to be careful if you see me on an airplane or at the airport and you greet me.
Okay. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack. Oh, no, that would be bad. That would be bad. Okay, I did not know this one. Apparently, a jack is a female fitting in an electrical circuit with a plug to make a connection with another circuit.
Uh-huh.
That's a jack. Did you know that? I didn't know that
one.
Okay. I always wondered that maybe you know this. It doesn't talk about the origin of this, but you've heard the saying, you don't know Jack, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Where did that come from? What does that mean?
It just means you don't know anything, but I don't know where that came from because I don't know Jack about that.
Nice. Nice.
But I would tell people, now that you've met me, you can say,
I do know Jack.
I do know Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, there's a fish, a jackfish, apparently, out there.
Uh-huh. Yep.
There is, of course, a jackrabbit.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, the name for a male donkey is a jack. I did not know that one.
It's called a jackass.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Because there's a Jenny ass. There's the female.
Really?
Yeah. Jack and Jenny's.
I did not know there was a Jenny one. Okay. Uh-huh. There's a bird called a jackdaw.
Okay.
I've heard of that one. The only reason I've heard of that one is the Assassin's Creed Black Flag video game, Jackdaw, was the name of the original name of his ship or his boat or something like that.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. apparently, there is a white target ball used in lawn bowling or bocce called the Jack.
Okay.
I didn't know that one either. And, of course, you have the Union Jack, a flag.
That's right. The Great Britain.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course, Apple Jacks. Did you get teased about Apple Jacks?
I love those.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When a truck, when the trailer gets past the cab, and maybe when it's slamming on the brakes, it's called Jackknife. Right?
And of course, there's actually an alcohol you can make out of apples.
Really?
Called Applejack.
An alcoholic drink?
Huh? Yeah, from apples.
Didn't know that. There's Monterey Jack cheese.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that. And then that was just the noun version of Jack. Of course, then you have the verb version of Jack. Okay. Like you can jack, for instance, you can hijack something.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Carjacking, I guess, is what they call it.
Yeah.
You take someone's car by force. You can jack up something.
I'm a jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. You can, jack means to steal, or rob. Let's see. And if you get someone fired up, you're jacking them up. Like, yeah, all right, let's get going. Let's get fired up about that one. This is a new one to me. To hunt or fish for an animal at night with a jack light is jack lighting.
I didn't know that one.
I didn't know that one either.
Yeah.
Okay, informally, to hit a ball forcefully. Oh, yeah, you can jack a home run. Yeah, I've heard that before, of course. Informally, to grab, shove, or handle something forcefully. You can jack something up that way, I guess. That's for the most part, Jack. Now, you said you got teased a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The name Jack was a tough one to have.
Jack and Jill went up the hill.
Oh,
Jack Sprat could eat no fat. Yeah. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
Yeah?
Did you jump over the candle?
I'll bet people were going
to hey, we're going to get you a candle.
Hey, Jack, where's Jill? I got that one. And once in a while, when I met a girl named Jill, it was like, hey, you know, maybe we should get together. That's a good couple, Jack and Jill.
Let's go run up the hill there. Except I think that fairy tale ends with everybody dying or something.
Yeah,
right?
Jack fell down, broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after.
Yeah, that's not good.
Bro, breaking your crown's probably not good.
No, that would be what they call TBI nowadays, traumatic brain injury. When I was a kid, there was something called the Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls.
Uh-huh.
And oh, do you remember those? They had the red hair and the flat
Raggedy
face
Andy.
And everything. Yeah, I got that a lot when I was a little kid. Hey, Raggedy Andy, where's Ann? Same kind of thing. And,
okay.
Yeah, and in fact, my mom was quite the seamstress, and she would sew Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls and sell them.
Oh.
And they loved coming over and finding out that she actually had a son named Andy. She thought that was really cool. I did not have a sister named Ann, fortunately. But there was a movie back in 1996 called Jack, coming-of-age comedy drama starring...
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
Yep.
Do you know who directed it?
No.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Really?
Yeah, Godfather. The guy, isn't he? Godfather. All the controversial,
so,
kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm watching on Paramount Plus the miniseries called The Offer. Do you have Paramount Plus?
I don't.
No. It's a mini series about the making of The Godfather.
Really?
And it's written by the guy who, I didn't know this, the guy that was the producer of The Godfather for Paramount, he was the one who came up and produced, he created the idea of Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, I love that show.
So, Alan Ruddy, and then he got assigned to produce The Godfather. And that's quite a story. So, if you want to watch something really cool on Paramount Plus, that's a really good you know,
I would submit to you, speaking of Hogan's Heroes, that show does not become as popular as it did without the guy who starred as Hogan.
Bob Crane.
Yeah, Bob Crane. He was phenomenal. He made that. I mean, everybody else was good. There were good other players. You know, I know nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But Bob Crane was amazing.
No, he was good. Absolutely.
And if you look at some of the great shows of all time, you go, okay, what is MASH without Alan Alda, right?
As
that guy. You know,
right.
Or what is Cheers without
even though George Sam Burns Brown. Is my favorite character on MASH.
Yeah. Wait, George Burns?
Not George Burns. Frank Burns.
Frank Burns. Oh, old Ferret Face himself?
Yeah.
There is a group out there, by the way, we're back to the Jack things, called the Jack Quartet. I'd never heard of them.
So a lot of character names in movies... Mm-hmm. The leading man is named Jack.
Wait, let me finish with Jack Quartet.
Okay,
then we'll get to your
sorry.
Because I know where you're going with that. Interestingly, the Jack Quartet is the guys that play in this quartet. And by the way, they focus on playing classical music. Chris, Austin, John, and Jay. None of them are named Jack. I can't even C-A-J-J. I don't know where they got Jack Quartet.
J-A-C-J.
J's and
Jacques.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a band called the Jack Quartet, and then a famous singer, Jack Johnson.
Okay.
Which you didn't really know much about him, but I know my son really likes Jack Johnson. Loves his. He's kind of a mellow singer songwriter style.
Okay.
And those that remember the movie Curious George, animated movie, the theme show to that, or theme song to that movie was a song called "You've Got a Friend in Me," and I'm not going to sing it on the air, but a lot of people know the song I'm talking about. So now, movie characters. One in particular successful.
Well, there was one in Titanic, the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right. Jack and Rose, right?
Yeah.
And she says his name a lot.
She says it. I got so sick of hearing my name.
Jack!
Then Robin Williams played a character named Jack in Club Paradise, which was a comedy back in the 90s.
Okay.
And then there was another TV show or movie with Robin Williams and Kurt Russell. And Kurt Russell's character was named Jack. Of course, DiCaprio played Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh.
So whenever I go to Mexico, they call me Captain Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack.
Jack Sparrow.
Well, wait, wasn't that a different guy? That was, what's his
name? No, that was the other guy. Yeah, you're right. Not DiCaprio. It was
Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Sorry.
But my bad. But you are Captain Jack.
Yeah, because my wife and I go to Mexico a lot, Jack is not a name that they relate to.
Really?
So I have to go with a different name. And otherwise, if I say, like Captain Jack Sparrow, I'm like, oh, okay, Jack Sparrow.
Do they have an equivalent name?
Not really.
Andrew in Spanish, they usually say Andre.
Andre. And then, if you did John, it'd be Juan.
Yeah, right.
But there's no Jack. And it just, their ear, it sounds funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, but I have to relate it to like Captain Jack Sparrow.
And then they know. Yeah. They oh, yeah. We've seen that show.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Any other movie? I wanted to go back. I was thinking about this when you mentioned Jack and Rose in Titanic. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, the kind of the big bad guy besides the iceberg, I guess, would be the rich boyfriend of Rose, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody remember that dude's name?
No.
I can't for the life
of me. She didn't say it 1,000 times in the movie.
That's true. And apparently obviously it's Hollywood and they change a lot, but it was based on a true story. There was
the ship
guy.
Did sink.
Yeah. that much we know was true. Yeah. And there was the Molly Brown on there, right?
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah. Yep. But other than that, I don't know how much of it was true, but there was a rich young entrepreneur on the Titanic that they based the character for Rose's boyfriend.
Okay.
On. I think the rest of it was mostly fiction, but still, there was a rich entrepreneur, but I cannot remember the dude's name.
No. Right?
And I should.
I only saw the movie once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was.
I don't think I've seen the whole movie more than once, but I've seen, I'll be flipping channels and the last 30 minutes will be on, or the middle 45 minutes when I'm not doing anything, and I'll watch it for a little while or whatever.
Oh, then there's Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still popular. There's still a lot. When you think about it, there's a lot of character names out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you like the name Jack?
I didn't when I was a kid.
Really?
Hated it, yeah. But now I like it, yeah.
I was kind of that way with the Andy Griffin thing and Andy Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, I got teased mercilessly. Hey, where's Opie? You're going to bake you a pie? Oh, everybody. Where's Barney? All that stuff. And after a while, I was just like, I don't ever want to hear this again. And I remember when I was first doing ball games, I'd go up to Cedar City to do games, and there was a guy named Clive up there, and he was a really good whistler.
Oh.
And you know what he did every time he saw me?
He did that.
He'd whistle.
Oh, my gosh.
He would whistle this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he finally, I thought it was going to stop once I told him I had a radio show and I used that song all the time, and instead it encouraged him to do it more.
No.
Now I see him all the time.
Yeah.
But as far as the Andy Griffith thing, I'm actually happy I share a name with a guy who was a really good guy.
Really good guy and really good show. Mm-hmm. I still love watching it to this day.
Great moral story.
Yeah.
That TV used to have kind of some good
TV
morals.
TV used
to
be
it.
Really good that way.
And
there's a lot of missing right now.
Something happened along the way. No. All right. Well, we're having a little fun with Jack Lancaster today. I haven't gotten into the Lancaster part of it. Burt Lancaster, right?
Yeah.
The only one I can think of.
Yeah. Well, that's the only really one out there. The only other famous, there's a bunch of towns named Lancaster, California.
Oh.
Lancaster, PA.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one. Yeah, yeah.
There's a bomber in English, a British bomber in World War II called Lancaster.
The bomber, the name of the plane?
Yeah.
Really? Was the bomber good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used it to bomb dams and stuff. Yeah, it was a big one.
Way to go, Lancaster.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
There's a castle in England. Of course, my family side, my Lancaster side. Well, my mother's side, too, but yeah, we're Lancaster. There's a castle there. There's a county Lancaster.
Are you related to royalty then?
Yeah, actually, we probably are. There's a coat of arms.
Uh-huh. So I had a buddy got married a couple weekends ago, and they introduced him. His name, I'm going to say his name here, but and then he said he is the Marquis of a certain town in Australia.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I never knew that, right? So when I got up to see him in the line after the wedding, I'm like, what's this whole Marquis thing? And by the way, the woman he married became the, I think they called it the Marchioness, which is the female counterpart to the Marquis.
Oh, okay.
And I said, what's with that? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm Marquis of a certain town in Switzerland. And I was like, what does that mean? He goes, I don't know. He says, I'm related to royalty. So it's pretty cool.
Well, in England, there's you've heard of the War of the Roses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Lancaster and the Yorks.
Really?
Yeah.
You were kind of like the Hatfields and McCoys.
They were fighting over the throne. The Yorks, I think, won it. But that was where King Henry VIII came from.
Ah, yeah. He's notoriously known for gluttony, right?
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of references to the in the castles and in the churches over there of the of the war. There's a white rose and a pink rose, and that was the War of the Roses. And Lancaster was one family, and the York was the other family.
Because you've now given me, I now know more about the War of the Roses than I did 5 minutes ago. I have no idea. Honestly.
Well, they based Game of Thrones on it.
Okay,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't watch that. So
I never watched it either, but that's what I've heard.
I heard they have dragons, so I like
one
dragons.
Of these days, yeah. Let's do a show. Mm-hmm. And have the listeners suggest movies or shows to watch that are really good.
Okay,
and we can talk about those.
We need it because we are not movie experts, either one of us. So I don't know much. I watch 2-3 movies a year. Is all.
Oh,
I watch,
yeah. So. I try to. I'm watching more. You know those not sitcoms, but you know the. I can't think of the name of the term, where it's like 4 or 5 episodes or 10 episodes.
Oh,
or whatever.
A little mini-series.
Mini-series or whatever. Yeah, I'm watching a bunch of those right now.
Nice. But okay, couple of texts. Don't forget the awesome song, The Jack, by AC/DC, 1975.
Okay.
You know, you remember that song? I don't remember. Yeah. So I might have to look that up and see if we can get a little bit of it.
Captain Jack Flash?
Cal was the character's name of the bad guy in Titanic. Cal.
Okay, okay.
Nice. Thank you.
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Jumpin' Jack Flash. Yeah, I remember
Stones.
That. Stones. Can you ask Jack if he's still watching Skinwalker Ranch and what he thinks about it?
Yes.
Yes, you are?
Well, it's not on right now. They're waiting for the new season to come out. I am very interested to see what happens.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's something in that hillside. And because they got videos of the UFO going into the mountain and coming out the other side. It's
really?
Crazy. Oh, yeah. That place is nuts.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And isn't that close to here somewhere?
That's up by Vernal.
Is it?
It's just outside of Vernal.
Oh, yeah. Utah. Nice. Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, I did want to, we got a couple things we want to talk about, a little more serious than making fun of Jack's name. Want to talk about wages, how minimum wage fits into a business owner, whether it should or whether it does. I remember flying into Amsterdam, and as we were approaching the country of the Netherlands, there were giant, Not like the, you know, the windmills you see, the Dutch windmill. That, not those. These are giant offshore, big old white wind turbine things. And I was just like, are those really, do they work? Are they really doing what they're supposed to do? We'll talk to Jack about that.
Okay.
When we come back right now, it's a weather check.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I'm Andy. He's Jack. We're here on the Andy Griffin Show today. And there it goes. Yeah, Jack's into it. All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get Celine Dion on here, and I'm going to play some Titanic.
If you're ooh, no, that's yeah. Okay.
My heart will not go on, Jack. Yes, I didn't get a chance. After I'm off the air, I'll get a chance to listen to The Jack by AC/DC, because I'm not familiar with that song.
Well, I don't think I am either.
It's, believe it or not, 50 years old. If it came out in 75.
Oh, AC/DC.
AC/DC,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
50 years old.
Billy Joel did a song called Captain Jack.
Did he?
It's about doing drugs.
I think I heard it.
It's about doing drugs.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so we're coming home yesterday from Salt Lake, and I've got the Spotify on playing music and stuff. And one of the songs that comes on is a song by Billy Squire called The Stroke.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you'll remember, Jack, when that was popular, everybody thought it was about, well, something that's not very nice.
Yep.
As it turns out.
That's not about it?
That's not what it's about at all.
Okay.
So, and once you find what it's really about and then read the lyrics, you go, oh, that makes sense. Okay. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking so my wife looked it up. She got reading about it and everything, and she's reading all the stuff to me. And I'm thinking, you know, that's probably true. It is about what she was reading, but they never tried I don't know if they tried at all to dispel the myth that it was about.
Yeah, anytime you can do a double entendre for something,
apparently Billy Squire wrote the song as a protest for the way he was being treated by the music, big money music companies.
Oh, okay,
okay. He said they stroke you and make you feel like you're the best because they want the money that you're going to make
right.
for them. And that's all that matters. And they use you and abuse you. And that's what the song's
about. You know, a lot of artists write songs about that.
Yeah.
Remember Steve Winwood?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the...
Roll with it, baby.
Well, yeah, but he was also, before that, he was in a group called Traffic.
Okay, I remember.
And there's a song called The Low Spark of High Heeled Boys.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean about trans boys or not. High-heeled meaning high educated, high.
Right.
The Low Spark.
And it was about
talking about these,
being abused by the music industry.
Well, yeah, it was about the people who have no creativity taking most of your money.
Yeah. You know. And it really happens.
Yeah.
Now, and one of the things I think that's hard for them is they don't get a lot of sympathy from us, the public, because we see these famous guys and we see them, you know, doing drugs and making money and getting whatever girl they want. And how are we supposed to feel bad for Billy Squire when he made millions of dollars on The Stroke and Everybody Wants You and all those songs? Even if he was being abused, he got taken care of.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel too bad.
And this is part of that song, just quickly. If I gave you everything that I owned and asked for nothing in return, would you do the same for me as I would for you, or take me for a ride and strip me of everything, including my pride? But spirit is something that no one destroys. And the sound that I'm hearing is only the sound of the low spark of high-heeled boys.
Wow.
That's good.
That's
stuff.
Pretty deep stuff, yeah.
I highly recommend it. If you go back and find Traffic is the name of the group. Steve Winwood's a singer, back when he was like 17.
It's a good little segue into, Jack, the idea of owning a business and what is the owner's obligation to an employee. Now, I think a lot of employers, not all of them, but a lot of employers are like, look, I pay you to do a job. That's where the relationship ends. I pay you, you do your job well. If you don't do it well, there's going to be problems. If you do it well, maybe you get raises. And that's kind of where it ends. But as a business owner, as a guy whose life, whose very, very well-being, as far as financially anyway, is intertwined among all your employees, it's got to be more than that, right?
Of course.
Tell me what has to be more than that.
Well, you have to treat your people with dignity and respect, but you also have to demand that they do their job proficiently.
Isn't a paycheck enough?
No.
Okay.
No. We always give high fives when people. We had a really big week a couple weeks ago, and Sunday's the only day our business is closed, so we took the staff out and bought them dinner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Took care of them because they took care of the customers and you.
Absolutely. We couldn't do what we do without them.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Now, your business, I know your wife doesn't like us to talk about your business specifically, but your business is known for high quality customer service. I've been doing a thing when we advertise your business, reading reviews, and review after review after review. Yeah, the food's great, but man, the customer service was amazing. They were fast and friendly, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me how you instill that into your employees, because I don't think it comes naturally necessarily.
We tell them, look, this is where your paycheck comes from. You know, if you want to, and not only that, you know, there's that, but also we don't hire, or if we do hire, we don't keep people very long that don't naturally give good customer service.
Hmm.
So we cycle through those folks, and you can, you know, that happens once in a while. You know,
I can tell you now, I've never owned a retail business like yours. I can tell you, though, if I go into a place, let me turn my mic down a little bit. If I go into a place and I have a bad customer service experience, if I go into a place and I feel like the employee's a jerk, or if I go into a place and I feel like they don't really care whether I'm there or not, I don't want to go back to that place.
Right.
It makes it so, I mean, no matter how good the food was, no matter how decent the prices were, if I go in and that employee acts like I'm inconveniencing them, I just don't want to go back.
Yeah. That was actually, I had that experience at first time I went to a Radio Shack. They treated me awful, so I never went back.
Are they still in business?
No, they're not.
I know they're not in business here. Are they?
They're all
the way done. Yeah.
And then there was a local restaurant that was a big hit in the late 80s, early 90s here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a national franchise. And when they first opened, I went there a couple of times, and they always acted like they were too good for me, and I just never went back.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I won't give that name, but
yeah, okay.
So absolutely. So you've got to be very, very careful. People get offended easily. But you know, you got to understand, you know, but also you have to treat your people good, because I believe in having a positive attitude. You know, we praise in public and we critique in private, you know.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how a marriage should be, right?
Yeah. And a critique isn't a berating. It's more like, this is what happened that was incorrect, and this is what we need to do in the future to make it correct. And we just have a matter of fact conversation. Now, if it happens over and over again, we either move them on or, you know.
need to make
usually
a,
we just
a corrective action.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I, you know, I studied a lot of psychology in college, and there's a difference between negative affirmation and positive affirmation.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? I guess what I'm saying is you can go in, and if somebody screws up, does something wrong, you can go in and dwell on what they did wrong, or you can go in and say, this is what we want you to do. This is the positive thing
well,
we want you to
it's
do.
It's also important to point out why a certain thing was wrong. This was wrong. Here's why.
Okay.
You know, and there's good reasons behind it, you know. Do you address the customer in front of you, or do you answer the phone if it's ringing at the same time? And the answer is you address the customer that's in front of you. You ignore the phone until you don't have anybody in front of you.
What about if, interesting case there, what if, and I've had this happen in retail establishments, the phone's ringing, I'm in front of them, they pick it up and go, hey, will you please hold and put the phone back up?
You can do that, but I don't teach that in my place.
You'll just let it ring
until
they're available.
Yeah. Because it only rings three times and then it quits ringing.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
But
all right. Now, what about wages? How important? Obviously, there's a minimum wage, but that seems at this point now completely irrelevant. I don't know too many businesses that use minimum wage.
I have a big opinion on minimum wage. I don't think that the government, state or federal, has any business telling me what a private contract should be between me and my employee or me and anybody. And that's just as a moral issue. I think it's immoral because if they don't want to work for whatever I'm offering, they don't have to.
Right.
Okay.
They can go take a job somewhere else.
Right. So there's no need for the government to tell me that I have to pay a certain wage for somebody. Now, I can tell you that as a business owner, I'm getting audited this week. I pay property taxes on all of the stuff that I own. In fact, the radio station here pays property taxes on every piece of equipment in here.
Mixing board
every year.
Yeah. Wow.
Every year. And you have to pay taxes to the county. And it's stupid because you pay for it. You pay sales tax when you buy it. Now you got to pay property taxes every year on it now that you own it. And you have to keep inventory of everything.
Wow.
So, there's a lot of things that the government really sticks its nose in a small business. And that's not just federal. Really, the only deal I deal with federal is, payroll taxes. I have to withhold. So when you get your withholding on your paycheck, the business owner has to pay the exact same amount on his end as well. So let's say your paycheck is whatever and the withholding, let's say, is $200 total. I have to pay another $200 on my end for the taxes. So I am a tax collector for the federal government. I'm a tax collector for the state in the form of sales tax. I have to pay taxes on my property. I have to jump through all of the different hoops of licensing and certifications for everything that we do. Of course, in the radios, they're similar with the FCC licenses and whatnot.
Right.
But to me, it's like, and then you're going to tell me how much to pay my people.
Yeah, no.
You know, what if I want to work for, you know, $3 an hour at a job that I want to learn? And I'm saying, look, you don't have to pay me, or you can pay me $3 an hour just to cover my cost to get to here and back. And I'll just work for free for 6 months or a year, whatever. That's up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy agrees to it. Technically, that's not legal. So we don't have the freedom.
Right.
I don't have the freedom to lower my labor price.
The government would say, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. So there's a federal minimum wage right now of $7.75, something like that.
Something like that, yep.
And I can tell you right now that nobody will come to work for any business for $7.75 an hour.
Nope.
Maybe if you're 14 and it's your brand first job, maybe. However, being said all that, labor is a commodity just like anything else that you sell in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a price that the market will bear for the employer will only pay so much for that type of job. However, you can only sell that product for only so much on the other end. So if I buy something for a dollar in my business, I want to sell it for three or four. Okay. I have to make my margin because I got a lot of stuff in between that.
Right.
So if I'm buying labor at $7 an hour, I need to sell that labor to my customers for 21.
Mm-hmm.
That way I can make some money. Okay. But on the same token, nobody's going to come work for me if I offer them minimum wage.
Right.
I don't care what the job is.
You won't get anybody.
So I've got to offer $10, $11, $12, $13 an hour.
And you still need to make three times that.
Yes.
The other end.
Yes. So every time wages go up, or minimum wages go up, like in California, I think they went to 15 for fast food,
yeah,
except for Panera Bread, because he was a buddy of the governor.
Right.
Then now, two things happen is, so you're not getting any more productivity out of the staff that you're paying $3 or $4 or $5 an hour more for. Right. So now you've got to either raise productivity. How do you do that? Well, you automate. So now when you go, for example,
you're talking about getting rid of people.
Absolutely, because you only have, in a certain business, there's only a certain margin of labor that you can afford.
Right.
In my business, it's 20% or less of my gross sales should be labor. Wow. If I'm above 20%, then I've got to make a price adjustment. But if I live at 20% or less, then I'm doing okay. Okay. And then there's other costs you have to deal with. But if you artificially raise that price of labor, now I've either got to do one of two things, and I'll probably do both. I've got to cut people back, so I'm going to give poorer customer service, and I'm going to have to raise prices because labor still has to not exceed that 20%.
And if you give worse customer service and you raise prices, you start losing customers.
Exactly, because again, if you're going to McDonald's, if you're going to Arby's, if you're going to wherever, there's only so much people are willing to pay for that type of food.
Right.
Okay. And you've noticed that since COVID, everything jumped up about double.
Yeah.
Right?
Big time, yeah.
So what used to cost you and your wife, you could go out and have dinner for two at a fast food or a fast casual for about $20.
Right.
That same cost is now about 30. Am
yeah.
I right?
At least, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's reality for yeah. everybody.
So everything's gone up. And the thing is that trickles down. So if you're doing any kind of added value labor to any product out there, let's say you're a meat packing plant. Well, all of a sudden your labor costs went from $10 to $15 an hour. Well, now the price of beef has gone from $3 to $6 a pound.
Right.
I mean, it's just a Costco the other day, and I think I paid $15 a pound for ribeyes.
Mm.
You know? Mm. They were good, though.
And never mind buying a brisket. That'll get you 100 right there.
So. Yeah.
All right.
So you got me off on a tangent, but I mean, I'm passionate about it. I don't understand why the government thinks it's got any business telling two people what they can do in a private agreement between each other.
Well, the thinking was always, you know, at least in my mind, was always, well, if you don't have a minimum, then some company's going to try to pay somebody.
Well, let them try. They won't get anybody.
I know. I agree with you.
And if you're a Democrat, and I'm telling you, if you're a Democrat and then you say, are you going to close the border? Because if American workers are truly being displaced by lower wage illegal immigrant workers, mm-hmm. then you're not doing the American worker any favors by having a wide open border.
Right. Yeah. They're costing jobs.
Yep. Because, you know, if those folks are willing to work for less, and again, I don't blame them for wanting to come here and make their lives better. I have a lot of empathy for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not their fault the border's open. They're just taking advantage of what's possible for them.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you say that you value the American worker and you value, you know, young people learning how to work and learning a work ethic, which has to be learned, you're not doing them guys any favors. No. And you're not raising the prices on naturally. Okay? You're keeping them low artificially.
Yeah.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. He's back in black, Jack.
Back in black,
Jack.
We are going to, I'm not going to play AC/DC right now, but I'm told there's a song called The Jack.
Okay.
You need to learn it.
I'm going to learn it.
It's about you, apparently.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So we will play that song. I have it up on the screen right now, but I learned long ago you do not play something not if you don't haven't pre-listened to it, if you don't know
yes,
the song.
Yes.
Quick story, and we only have 5 minutes, 6 minutes left, but quick story. When I was a young disc jockey at Z104 in Logan, from the 60s to the 90s, a history of hits on Z104. That's what we were.
Ah, okay.
Guy called in one night, and I had the late nights at 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., and we would actually, I would shut the transmitter off at 2 a.m., and the morning guy would come in at 6 and turn it back on.
Wow.
But anyway.
Save some power there.
Save a few bucks. Yeah. Anyway, a guy called in and said, I want you to play, hey, can you play I'm Crazy by Guns N' Roses? And I'm like, okay. I didn't know the song, but what the heck? I said, what's your name? I'll mention you on the, oh, my name's, I think he said his name was Maynard. And I'm like, okay. That should have been a red flag, but here I am. I'm 24 years old. I'm young and Maynard. Stupid. And, and so I grabbed the Guns N' Roses CD. It was whatever the Appetite for Destruction or whatever their big one was at the time. And I found the song Crazy. It was like track 8 or something on the CD. And I started playing it. And within 10 seconds, he had said the F word 5 times. Live over the air. And I pulled it off. I pulled it off. I didn't play the whole song. I pulled it off and said, oh, wow, watch your language. And I played something else.
But,
apparently somebody was listening to the station that night that was good friends with the station manager.
Oops.
And the next day I got a phone call.
Yeah.
And, listen, can you come into the station this afternoon? We want to meet with you. And so the general manager and the program director sat me down in the office and said, I thought I was going to get fired. I really did.
Yeah.
I thought I was toast. But they said, listen, you played a song last night. I said, yeah, I know. They didn't have to finish. I knew it was
something. Yeah.
And they said, don't do that again. I said, no. And they said, you did the right thing, pulling it off. And said, playing the whole song. He said, but never, ever, this is an old radio rule, never, ever play a song that you haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Because something like this will happen.
Yeah.
And they said, who requested that song? And I said, oh, he said his name was Maynard. And they're like, oh, apparently that guy he enjoys going around radio stations and requesting vulgar songs to see if he can get him played over there.
There you go.
So I was fooled.
Yeah, that's a FCC fine.
Big time.
Yeah, that's
fine.
A big fine.
Like thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I won't get fooled again, to borrow the word
get
from the
fooled
Who.
Again.
Yeah.
Is that the Who?
Yeah, the Who. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. Flying into the Netherlands last year, as we approached the country, I noticed off to my left. I had a window seat. I noticed off to my left, there were a whole bunch of these big, giant, white wind turbines.
Yeah.
And I got thinking about this. I'm like, okay, you know, first of all, climate change is real, but man-made climate change is not something that's real. And we're all kind of environmentalists a little bit.
Sure.
You know, we don't want the environment. We want the earth to be here for our kids and grandkids,
right.
Of course. But it just seemed a little excessive to have all these big, giant white wind turbines in the middle of the ocean. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they're eyesores.
They are eyesores.
You know, you replace a coal-fired plant or a natural gas-fired plant or a nuclear plant that's going to occupy 5 or 10 acres of land, including the parking lot, and you're going to replace that with hundreds and hundreds of square miles of bird-killing, marginally effective windmills.
Marginally effective?
Well, marginally. And in fact, my nephew works up here at the power plant up in Delta. And they have to send power to the windmill farm because it doesn't blow enough. So it costs, you know, wind energy costs, you know, total energy. But California will only buy natural gas or hydrogen based or whatever. And he told me a funny story that because their biggest customer is California at the Delta power plant, they're phasing out their coal. They're bringing in natural gas and they're using natural gas to take water. They're pulling water out of the ground. And they're using it to electrolyze water into hydrogen, so then they can burn hydrogen back into water and send that electricity to California. Yeah, no kidding. Okay? nobody apparently understands the law of conservation of energy. and it is amazing. So, you know, you can have your windmill farms that work once in a while. You can replace them with baseload power like natural gas and nuclear. And if you're worried about, you know, CO2 in the atmosphere, you know, of course, no amount of coal power plants that we get rid of is going to offset what China's doing. So, you know, the atmosphere is worldwide. And and the problem is there is no problem. Okay. CO2 is plant food. We are growing more plants, the world is greener, and we're growing more crops than ever before because we've got a lot more CO2 in the atmosphere, 440 parts per million versus about 200 parts per million when the Industrial Revolution began. And at 150 parts per million, plants start to die. So if we go below 150 parts per million of CO2, plants start to die. Mm. We're fertilizing the atmosphere. We're making the world a greener place. But no, we're too stupid to figure that out. And we think we need to have socialist policies to save ourselves from something we can't help to do.
He's Jack. We'll talk to you tomorrow.